Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into today's Oasis podcast. I tell you what, I'm so excited because this is part two on a series called Heaven is a Real Place. And if you haven't heard part one, boy, you got to go back. You got to listen to it. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. Or you can go to iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify. We're on there. Look for Eric Casto, the Oasis podcast, and you'll be able to pick it up. Now, I believe 2025 that there's something new that the Spirit of God is doing in the body of Christ on the earth. For those that are looking for the Lord, desiring His return, people that spend time in the secret place, spending time with Him, I believe that there is a fresh anointing that's coming into the hearts of people as they pray to begin to get a greater revelation of the throne of God. And I believe that this set of teachings just adds into that. I believe maybe prophetically that we're getting into something here in order to minister and to stir up the body of Christ to look up and to live in a upward faith position. And so let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that your anointing would be upon me and upon the word of God, which it is, and upon the ears of the hearer. And Lord, we're receiving by faith this prophetic move of adjustments in the earth to the body of Christ, where those that are waiting for the Lord, loving His return, His appearing, that, Father, this adjustment, this impartation is coming into us, and we're looking up to the throne of God, living with a greater reality, a living revelation of how real the throne of God is. And Father, we thank You that that revelation is going to turn the destiny of millions of people. And so, Father, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So now, let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. And I tell you what, this Colossians chapter 3, one of my favorite three verses of the Bible. And you're talking about such depth here, but let's get into it. Verse 1, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. So already the Apostle Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is getting the church to look up, to begin to live with a greater revelation of up, the throne of God, heaven itself, okay? Verse 2, set your mind, set your affection on things above, okay? So Paul is just working on us right now. He's like, you got to get your faith, your desires, your focus on heaven, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul again, by the Holy Spirit, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in us, or in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So here we have identification. When you and I came into Christ and we put our faith in Jesus, then technically before the throne of God, we died on the cross with Jesus. We were buried with Him, and we were raised back to life. Paul says, listen, guys, I'm dead. You're dead. And the life that you're living, you live by faith in the Son of God who, what, loved you, and He gave Himself for you. How important is the faith walk? How important is faith on the earth? It's everything. You know, whenever you hear someone talking about faith, never criticize it. Say, you know what? I need to listen a little more. I need more faith stirring on the inside of me, a faith that has works coming out of me. And so what I want to say here is, as we get into this, this is our position. We're dead. We're living by his faith, by his love, and our affections need to be upwards into the throne of God where we've been given access. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, it says, oh, so powerful. It says, for when we were dead in our sins, he quickened us together with Christ. Meaning, when Jesus was made alive, you were made alive. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together. Don't you love the word together? That's a wonderful word. And has what? Made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in a place in the realm of the Spirit where we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So what the Bible is saying is, hey, you need to set your affection. You need to begin to look up, live with a greater revelation where Christ is seated, because that is where you and I are right now. And let me tell you, if that is where we're located in the realm of God, in Christ, in God, then there is room for us to begin to grow in a revelation of Christ and heaven. And so that's where he is seated. That's where the throne of God is. And so, oh, I tell you what, I'm just kind of getting overwhelmed here. Now, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, let's turn over to Acts chapter 7, very, very powerful, verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, as says the prophet, verse 49, 48 and 49, here's 49, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. And of course, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 66 and 1, Isaiah begins to declare where the throne of God, that it's heaven is the throne. The throne is in heaven. And what is the earth? It's the footstool. Now, the Bible also says in Isaiah 14, verse 13, Isaiah 14, and this is talking about Satan and his rebellion, but there's something we learn about the throne of God that's crucial, that's so wild. In Isaiah 14 and verse 13, the Bible says, for you said in your heart, Satan, that I'm going to ascend up to heaven. Now, in the Bible, there's only two locations. There's heaven and there's earth, okay? In fact, even at the end, in the book of Revelation, he makes the heavens new and he makes the earth new. It doesn't talk about any other place. It's heaven, the throne, earth, the footstool. And so here is Satan. He's talking about ascending upwards. Now, when you go to the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't talk about any other parts of creation. So when we get into the Bible that we have, we start with the heaven is created, the earth is created. The earth is in darkness. And then God begins the creation, the seven-day creation that we understand. Okay, and so here we have a little bit of some understanding is that here is Satan. There was a time he was down on the earth. That's the only place he could be. And he says, now we know he's an archangel. He's a high up angel. And we also know in the book of Revelation, he led a third of the angels, a third of the stars, the Bible says, into his rebellion. And he swooped them with his tail, right? They followed him in this rebellion against the throne of God. And so the Bible says, for you've said in your heart, I will ascend up into heaven. So he wasn't in heaven. He was someplace else. And he says, he goes up into heaven. I will exalt my throne. So he had a throne and that God gave him. And in the book of Revelation, we will have thrones, okay? So Satan had a throne. He said, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. What? In the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And of course, Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And so where did he fall? He fell out of heaven. And he fell down upon the earth. He's called the principality and power of what? Of the air. And so when you get into the book of Genesis, day two, when God separates the waters from above, the atmosphere and below, that's the only day he never said it's good. Well, because in that atmosphere, there was something that wasn't good. And that was Satan. He had been cast out of heaven. He had been thrown right back down to the earth. No more throne. He didn't have any throne. He was just bound to the atmosphere of this planet. And so in all of that, God begins to create everything that we know and calling everything good, everything good, everything good. And of course, then he gives Adam authority. He gives him his word and he gives him authority. And that's all Adam needed. Do what I said. And this is the authority. The planet is yours. You're my son. Eve is my daughter. And I'm a heavenly father to you. And it's beautiful. Now, what we get out of here is this. To the sides of the north, heaven is in the north. That's why the earth has directions, north, south, east, and west, okay? And so if you go to the north pole, and you go up, you're going to go, oh, that's where heaven is. Heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. And so now you understand the strategic value of the directions on the earth. The Bible says in Psalm 75, just to reiterate this truth, Psalms 75, this is pretty awesome. Verse 6, for promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Do you notice it says east, the west, and the south? Promotion doesn't come from those three directions, but did you notice it left out the word north? Because God is seated in the north. And this planet, I'm going to call it a planet because we live on a planet. The Bible says at the end that heaven, that the new Jerusalem is going to come out of heaven and it's going to come down upon the earth. Well, the earth is a planet. Well, is it wrong to think that heaven is a planet? And it may not be real close to us. It may be in a different realm, but it's a real place. And so that's a pretty powerful thought that just above the earth to the north is a place called heaven. And that's where the throne of God is. And I like to say it, anytime you go into a throne room or you see a movie and there's the throne room, you look at the throne. You don't look at the footstool. The throne and the footstool are completely different things. And the footstool is for feet. And we live on the earth, and this is the footstool. And we're learning as the children of God to obey him and to live for him. And, of course, to preach the gospel to a lost world, a world that needs Christ. Now, so in this today, as we're laying this foundation of heaven, let's go back, to Acts chapter 7, and we dealt with this quite a bit the other day, but I want to read it. This is 7 verse 55, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Like I said at the beginning, I believe that this is the prophetic word. That there is those who are living with a fullness of the Holy Ghost are going to be living with a greater revelation, a greater reality of heaven. And spending time in that place in these days. And let me just say this. I believe we're in the end times. I believe the rapture of the church could happen at any moment. But I know that while we're here, these are glory days. These days, God has an operation and plans and assignments of the glory of God. Here we are in the beginning of 2025. I believe that there are assignments that are coming down from heaven to carry the glory of God into the nations of the earth for the preaching of the gospel, for demonstration of the move of the Spirit of God. So here's Stephen. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He looks up steadfastly into heaven. And let me just say that, steadfastly into heaven, you're going to have to choose. how steadfast your focus on the throne of God is. And I believe that's the difference between foolish virgins, Matthew 25, and wise virgins. Wise virgins are those who are setting themselves steadfast on the throne of God, drawing upon the power, the authority, the glory, the love that the Father has, living in that, okay? So steadfastly looking up into heaven, he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I believe in the days we live in, there's going to be a lot of people, they're going to be interacting with Jesus on a new level, and they're going to be talking about it, and people are going to hear, wow, that's a great story about Jesus. You really were with him? Oh, yes, and this is what he said. I believe that in these days, before the rapture, before the appearing of Christ, that there's going to be a lot of bubbling of things going on that's just going to be, ooh, pretty exciting. You don't want to miss it. Now, what I wanted to talk about in today's podcast, kind of laying a foundation, is Isaiah chapter 6. Let's begin to look at some aspects, characteristics of heaven, the throne of God. And like I said, heaven is a planet. John chapter 14, verse 1, 2, 3, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, that where I am, you're going to be. And if I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I just want to say this. Heaven is a planet. And there are creatures there. There's musical instruments there. There's food there. It's a real place. And the throne of God is the epicenter, of course, but it's a planet. And there are dwellings there. There are places for you to live there because it's a planet. It's a place to be, to live, and to be with the Father, in the Father's presence. And so when you get to heaven, it's not, this is me speculating, I don't believe it's just all about living in the throne room, and that's all you do is, you know, play a harp and float on clouds. I don't believe that at all. It's not like that on the earth. And I believe the earth is a representation, though it's the footstool. I believe it's a smaller, I believe it's there's some things that are limited on the earth, that the throne of God has no limitation. It's like you ever go to like a store and then you go, oh, I just love this store. But boy, on my vacation, I went to the mother store, the first location where the offices are. And oh, my goodness, everything that they have there, what's different? And so on the earth, you know, it's a little bit different. And so we're going to talk about that. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, let me just pause here. There was a problem in the land. King Uzziah, great king, he overstepped some lines. He went into the holy place. He wanted to offer incense on the altar, and he wasn't supposed to do that. You know, God is real. And what he says is what he says. And so Uzziah didn't listen to the priest. He tried to offer incense, and immediately he was made a leper. He ran out of the throne, okay, out of the temple. And it affected him. And he died as a leper. But he had a son called Jotham. Jotham was a good guy. But I think Jotham was affected too because he never went to the temple. He never went that direction. I think he was just afraid. He was scared of it. And so there's a real problem in the land that was created by leadership. Leadership was good and then made some really bad decisions. Now there's a void in the land. There's a fear of the temple, a fear of the altar of God. And so here Uzziah dies. You've got this problem, this spiritual problem in the land. And so God says, here, Isaiah, come on up here. I want to show you something. And here's Isaiah. He's in his house, but he's taken up in a vision, okay? And he's beginning to see the throne of God. And he sees the glory of God like a train. I don't know, like I don't know how you describe this, but the robes of God. And, you know, on the other podcast, you know, I talked about my dad going up and watching the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, taking the photographs of it. And he always said it was like curtains coming down from heaven and just waving in the atmosphere. And he had a real experience with the Lord. So here's Isaiah. He his eyes are open. He's seeing into heaven like Stephen did. And then he says above it stood the seraphim. Now he's seeing these creatures, living creatures. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So this man, his life is being shaken because of what he is seeing at the throne of God. "Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged.'" And then, obviously, his call comes. Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah goes, I'll go. And so what's happening here? God is releasing an impartation concerning the throne of God. I don't think in the Old Testament there's a better picture of the throne. You don't get a more clear picture until you get into the New Testament, especially in the book of Revelation, where John is given a lot of information. He's seeing a lot of things with a lot more clarity and detail. And of course, when Isaiah is having this experience, Jesus had not come. He had not died. He hadn't been raised back to life, making a way for us to go into heaven. Okay? So at this point, people were not technically going into heaven other than Enoch and Elijah. Those two guys were taken up in a certain operation of God, but everybody else didn't go up. Okay? There was a place called Abraham's bosom. Okay? It's in the center of the earth. Man's sin had not been dealt with, so man was not allowed to go into heaven yet. Those people died in faith. They were preserved by their faith and waiting for Christ to come and to preach in the center of the earth. And because they died in faith, they heard his preaching. They put their faith in him. He led captivity captive, and he led them out. The Bible says the graves of many saints were opened up, and they were seen walking around heaven. Now, that's in the book of Matthew. And so here's all these people who had died in faith, and Abraham and David and Isaiah, of course, he's going to be there, and all these wonderful people, Rahab, you know, the prostitute from Jericho, she died in faith. She got to hear Jesus preach, and she answered the altar call, and she came out alive, and now she's up in heaven. And so that's pretty exciting. Heaven's a real place. There are people there right now. And so here's Isaiah. So he's having this revelation of the throne. And then the Bible says that an angel, one of these seraphim, comes and takes tongs. So there's tongs, there's instruments at the altar of God. There's an altar there. And such a, I mean, we're talking about a very holy place. So let's begin to say, okay, I want to know more about the throne of God. And that's what we're going to look into in our third podcast, which is going to be next. I've gone far enough right now. This is the second foundation. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've heard, what we're learning. Lord, help us to chew on it and give us a greater revelation of the throne of God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Now listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. You can get our podcasts on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and iTunes under The Oasis with Eric Casto. And listen, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.